Happy New Year. It's very nice to start off with the festival of Maitreya. And I thought I'd talk about a number of the different aspects of what Maitreya is about. Why do we do this festival? And the basic idea of Maitreya is that Maitreya is going to be the next Buddha in the future sometime. And the way it's described is that Maitreya will be the next Buddha who will appear after the teaching of the current Buddha has totally disappeared and been forgotten. So not just yet. And in fact, it's said that it's in a long, long time in the future, hundreds of eons or thousands or millions of eons in the future. Which can make you think, well, what's the point then if we're never actually going to meet Maitreya? Maitreya is not going to come along in our lifetime. And I think that's really the point of it. That if we feel we're looking for someone else to come and save us, for someone else to come and inspire us or convert us or whatever it might be, if we're hoping for Maitreya to turn up, well, he's not going to. We still have the teaching of the current Buddha. If we're looking for a saviour to come along and rescue us, well, they're not going to. And that's a real challenge, because it's so easy to hope for that and to want that and to think, well, our training's a bit difficult, it's a bit of a struggle. It'd be nice if someone just kind of came and enlightened me, the cosmic zap kind of thing. If Maitreya came along, I'm sure he'd do that, and then everything would be sorted out. And I think the point of the celebrating the festival of Maitreya is just to remind us that that's not going to happen. Not in that way. So if that's where we are putting our attention, if that's what we're focusing on something that's not real. It's not here. And it can just remind us, help us to realise that actually what we should be focusing on is our practice right here, right now, not something that's going to happen in the future one day. Or is it? And that's what quite a lot of the scripture is about that we recited today, the Litany of Maitreya. And that's what was mentioned in the offertory as well. And I'd like to touch on a few of those aspects. I've also got here next to me a little statue of Maitreya. I'll try and hold that up to the camera for those who on Zoom. He's a very, very jolly figure with a big belly. He's got his arms up in the air. He's got couple of things in his arms. He's got on this side he's got a kind of whisk just like the fountain scepter I had in the ceremony, or very similar, and some kind of circular object. It might be a ball of some kind, maybe it's meant to be a coin, I don't know, in his other hand. But he's looking very jolly and very celebratory, and that's another aspect of Maitreya that I'll just mention as well. Because the statue we have on the altar is very different from that. It's more of jolly and unusual in terms of how Buddhas are portrayed, although you see a lot of these. The statue of Maitreya on the altar is much more serene. He sat on a chair with one foot down, and that the one foot down signifies his willingness to step into the world. It's like he was sitting on some kind of raised platform with his legs crossed, and then he puts one leg down ready to come into the world, he or she. And I think that willingness to step into the world, to be part of this existence here and now, in order to help beings, is a crucial aspect of what the teaching of Maitreya is about. But rather than looking for someone else to do it, it encourages us to, we ourselves, to do that work of helping all beings. There are a number of bits in the litany that struck me, as they do each year. There's a bit that says, "This is the dwelling place of those who are tranquil and free of defiling passions, who, by means of their unimpeded spiritual knowledge, united with their powers of observation, thoroughly understand that, by nature, all lands and sentient beings in the ten quarters are empty of substantiality, and who therefore do not pass judgment on them." And that refraining of passing judgment on others is just so important, that we're not judging that others are unworthy, or that they are annoying, or that they are this, or that they are that. We see that when we see that all lands and sentient beings in the ten quarters are empty of substantiality, it means that we don't set up an idea that there are all these different selves. Each being is a separate self, separate to everyone else, and the essence of that being is something I don't like, or they're a bad person, or they're a good person, or an annoying person, or whatever it might be. Instead, to see that there is just the whole of this world unfolding. We are part of that unfolding. How can we help this unfolding? How can we help all beings to realise the truth? And it's not by being judgmental of them. It's not by taking offence. It's by just making the offering, making this offering that Maitreya is making. When it says, I started off with, "This is the dwelling place," the "this" that it's referring to is the Tushita heaven. And the Tushita heaven is described as where Maitreya is waiting as the most senior sentient being, because he's the one who's going to come next, be the next Buddha. And the Tushita heaven is saying, this is the dwelling place of such people. But there's another way you can understand it. It's also talking about here and now, right here, right now. This is the dwelling place of those who can see clearly. And there's another section that says, "This is the dwelling place of those salvagers of the world who, as bodhisattvas, remain for countless eons with a single sentient being to help them turn their heart around. And as they do for this one, so do they for all." That willingness to, you know, put into practice the bodhisattva vow of helping all beings by being willing to stay with just one being for as long as it takes to help them to find the way. And to do that, you have to let go of that judgment that was talked about in the previous section. They remain for countless eons with a single sentient being to help them turn their heart around, to help them let go of greed, hate and delusion, to help them to connect with the life of practice right here, right now. And it says, as they do for this one, so do they for all. Every single sentient being, there's that willingness to offer and to help. Now, of course, for all of us, we're all limited in what we can do in practice. But that willingness, that wish to help all beings is there. Similarly, it says, "This is the dwelling place of those of firm intentions who spend endless eons in a single country, working tirelessly to help sentient beings transform themselves spiritually, doing the same thing in each and every country." There's that unlimited willingness to help. And at the end of the scripture it says, "I, being content to reside here, being content to reside here. Where? In the Tushita heaven? Is this Maitreya saying, I'm happy to stay in the, to be here in the Tushita heaven? It isn't, because it says, I, being content to reside here, now bow in deepest respect with hands in gassho to you, the wise, virtuous and compassionate Maitreya, heir of the Buddhas. I, being content to reside here, is about us. And we're right where we are. We're not in the Tushita heaven, except in the sense that you can see this world as being the Tushita heaven. We're here and now, right here, right now. Are we content to reside here, to practice the life of Maitreya, right here, right now, to make that offering? I'll go on to the offertory in just a moment, but just to say a little bit about this statue that's here, with the big belly and the heart, the hands up in the air. These images of Maitreya are often referred to as hote, and you see them around a lot. And the story is that they're based on a historical character, someone who was a Buddhist monk 1,000 years ago or so, during a period of Chinese history where there was a lot of conflict going on. And it said that he would kind of walk around like this with his robe kind of half falling off him, with his big belly, and he'd have a sack of... You can't see the sack in... Oh yeah, there we go. Oh, maybe that's tied to his waist, I don't know. But he'd have a sack of toys, and he'd give out toys to the children as he go around from village to village. But nobody paid him much attention. I think during times of great conflict and great difficulty, people are often looking for a saviour, looking for someone to come and sort things out. And during that period, apparently there was quite a strong, almost a cult of Maitreya, or a strong following of Maitreya, in the sense that people wanted Maitreya to come along and be the next Buddha and, you know, get rid of all this, all these difficulties, all this war and conflict. When this monk died, he left a small poem, a very short poem, just a few lines. And when people found that, they read the poem, and when they found him, and what it said was something along the lines of, Maitreya, Maitreya, people seek him, looking for him everywhere. Maitreya is here and now. And people thought that what he was saying was that actually he was Maitreya and they'd missed it. And so ever since, this Hote figure has become connected with the teaching of Maitreya. He's been seen as an embodiment of Maitreya, you could say. And I think that jolliness, the offering of toys to the children and just going around being a happy presence is an aspect of Maitreya, and Maitreya appearing in the world. But there's another way, of course, of understanding that little poem that he wrote. Maitreya, Maitreya, people are looking for him everywhere. People are looking outside and separate from themselves, looking for something else, looking in other places, not relying on their own true nature, not relying on their own practice, looking for someone to come in the future. But he says, Maitreya, Maitreya, even though people are looking for him everywhere, Maitreya is here and now. It's not saying that he is Maitreya, just Maitreya is here and now when we live the life of Buddha here and now. When we put Maitreya into practice here and now, then Maitreya is. And this is the same teaching as the teaching of the festival, that, you know, there's this focus on something that will come in the future when we won't be around, to make us realise that actually relying on that is not the right thing to do. We have to rely on our own practice right here, right now, in the same way that Hote was saying, people are looking for Maitreya everywhere, but they're not looking in the one place where Maitreya is and can be. the only place where Maitreya is and can be, which is right here, right now. Maitreya can only appear when we live Maitreya, when we put into practice the attributes of Maitreya, which is to live as a Buddha, to live following the Buddhist precepts, to put into practice the different things that are described in the Maitreya festival, in the Maitreya litany. And fundamentally, you could say, putting into practice those bodhisattva vows, to practice to do something about ourselves, but also to help all beings. In the offertory, which has, I think, been, I think Reverend Master Daishin rewrote quite a bit of this. It says, we make offerings to Maitreya. Maitreya is known as the Buddha that is to come, even though he already walks through this realm and smiles at the foolishness of those who do not see him, even when he stands right before them. That's the sense in which the nature of Buddha is the nature of the universe. Maitreya is everywhere. Maitreya is all around us. Maitreya is the nature of us. He smiles at the foolishness of those who do not see him. He's not smiling in a making fun of them way. It's a kind of wish to support, a wish to help them to see. But what other time could he arrive than now? Where could his great assembly be other than here? Although unrecognized by most, he's undaunted by their ignorance, for his nature cannot be crushed in either birth or death, since he is the same as the whole universe. Because the nature of Maitreya is the nature of things as they are, we can awake to that, we can know that, we can put that into practice. Maitreya appears in the world when we live Maitreya, when we live based on meditation, following the Buddhist precepts. That doesn't just help others to see Maitreya in the world. Fundamentally, it helps us to see. We can see the Buddha nature, how the world is the nature of Buddha, when we are living in accord with it. If we're not doing our best to put into practice this nature of Maitreya, the nature of Buddha, then we won't see that. We won't see that in other beings. We won't be able to let go of our judgment of them. We will pass judgment on them, because we see ourselves as being separate and alone and in conflict, in competition at the very least, with all beings. And that's not a helpful way to see things. It's much more helpful to see that we're all in this together. We're all doing our best to find the end of suffering, to come to know the real nature of things. How can we help each other in doing that? Maitreya wanders through this world looking for nothing, and yet responds completely to every need. Even when beings believe they are abandoned, Maitreya stands within every atom of their bodies, because Maitreya is their real nature. Maitreya's whole being is filled with joy and contentment, since Maitreya truly knows the heart of existence. That's what we can find, that life of joy and contentment, from truly knowing the heart of existence, truly knowing the nature of things, truly knowing the nature of us, this being. His compassion is always present, and his coming is the unfolding of life itself. The compassionate nature of the universe is always there for us to connect with. The coming of Maitreya is the connection with that. It's the living of our life, the unfolding of life itself. In the Kesa verse that we say each morning, we say, I wish to unfold the Buddha's teaching, that I may help all living things. The unfolding of the Buddha's teaching is, in a sense, a gradual thing, because we come to know the depths of the Buddha's teaching as we deepen our own ability to see and hear it, to understand it. It's all unfolded in front of us, actually, all the time. But how much are we able to understand of it? How much are we able to put into practice? That we're deepening all the time. That's the sense of stepping into the life of Maitreya. His coming is the unfolding of life itself. Maitreya appears as we unfold the Buddha's teaching within our own life. But the last line of the Kesa verse reminds us that we're not doing this all for ourselves. Buddhism is certainly not, in any sense, a selfish practice. I wish to unfold the Buddha's teaching that I may help all living things. And it's that wish to help all beings that guides Maitreya. It's that connection with all beings. Maitreya, the nature of Maitreya, is actually not held back waiting in the Tushita heaven. The nature of Maitreya is to step into the world. It is that stepping into the world of Maitreya, the statue of Maitreya, lowering a foot, stepping into the world right here, right now. Completely grounded in this world. And if we can do our best to put into practice the Bodhisattva vows, to ground ourselves in the meditation practice, to follow the Buddha's teachings and keep the precepts, that's living the life of Maitreya. That's living the life of connection with all beings. And then we don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the future. Is someone else come along to save us? We can be that saviour, not in the sense of saving all beings, but in the sense that just by putting into practice the Buddha's teaching, we make it real. We make the life of Buddha real, right here, right now. So there's no need to look elsewhere for something to come along and sort it out for us. The possibility of practice is in our hands. We have that possibility. We have that potential, which we can make a reality. And in Maitreya, the festival of Maitreya, we often do at the beginning of the year. Here, we've done it each year for a number of years now, because Maitreya, I think, is very much about new beginnings, in the sense that this moment now, doesn't matter what happened in the past, this moment now we can engage with practice. It's not about having a New Year's resolution, it's just about this moment, putting it into practice this moment, putting it into practice this moment, putting it into practice this moment. When we do that, we don't need to think about the Tushita heaven. The Tushita heaven is here and now, and we can say, as it says at the end of the litany, I, being content to reside here, now bow in deepest respect with hands in gassho to you, the wise, virtuous and compassionate Maitreya, heir of the Buddhas. I now reverently bow to you, who, for the benefit of all, ever manifest yourself in myriad forms, whilst relying on the true nature of reality. And if we can do that, that's a wonderful offering to ourselves and to all beings.